Hello everyone, good morning. Welcome back to the One Day at a Time podcast. Now today's theme of podcast is about heart health. I spoke about some of these studies before. We're going to round it up into a nice weekly review now. And there's a few things I covered today. And I think it's important because some goals are physical. I want to look good and all this stuff. Okay, great. But when we're not motivated, if we're reminded of, well, if we just did this, it's going to reduce our chance of dying and reduce our chance of cardiovascular disease. And all I go to is this. A few of these, a few of that. And I think the important news is overall from the research is that we don't actually have to do that much to get the benefits from exercise for our heart health, okay? So the first thing is that the American Association, Heart Association, had a 7-point list before about heart health. And here's the 7. Eat better, be more active, quit tobacco, manage weight, control cholesterol, manage blood sugar, manage blood pressure. But Columbia University researchers are like, nah, mate, what's going on here? You're missing something big. And they said, well, what are we missing? I said, sleep, you nutters. Where's sleep on this list? Right? So then they've now added this, so there's 8. But the reason why there's sleep's in this list, because there was research on it, 1,900 people, average age 69, 54% were female. And it basically showed, right, that, you know, if it's like sleep duration, sleep efficiency, daytime sleepiness, sleep disorders, predicted future heart disease, okay? So we need better sleep. And we know if we don't have decent sleep, you actually eat more calories the next day. You actually exercise less. You have more intense cravings for sweet or high calorie foods, right? So sleep is such a big part of the picture. And I don't want to go on and on about it because you know you need to sleep better. We all need to sleep better. But here's how I see it. So for example, if you can't eat better today and you've just gone over your calories, you're going, okay, I can't eat better. Have you got your steps in and done some activity? If you haven't done that, then at least you fall back on a decent night's sleep. And that's when you say, do you know what? Today hasn't gone to plan for me today. I haven't done everything I need to do. That's fine. But I'm going to make sure I go to bed on time tonight. I'm going to put my phone outside my room or put it away. Okay. I'm going to black out blinds, maybe some white noise if it helps, you know, good sleep hygiene, just make sure you relax, maybe read a book until you sleep, just get that done at least, okay? So we fall back on sleep as a core, right? And I think it's important that we have that and we move forward with what we should do for our health in terms of exercise. Now, the first thing I want to cover is that there used to be a separation between strength training and cardio. Strength training doesn't do what cardio does and vice versa. But actually now research is saying strength training does just as much as cardio, even for your heart. Okay, so strength training, in short, improves your blood pressure, diabetes risk, mood, body composition, blood sugar control, inflammation, sleep, quality of life, everything. Okay, so strength training is something we should be doing. And we don't actually have to do much, okay? So twice weekly sessions involving 2 sets... Okay, 2 sets, got 8 to 10 exercises. That's all you got to do. And you know, you can do this either full body. So you can do 8 to 10 exercises full body. So you can do bicep curls, tricep extensions, shoulder presses, you know, dumbbell shrugs, squats, lunges, you know, glute raises, any of these things. You just do 2 sets. Okay, and it might take you 20 minutes to do this. And you do that twice a week and happy days. You've kind of hit the core. You've kind of hit the base minimum. And a lot of PTs and stuff won't program this in because they think, oh, it's not enough, it's too easy. But that's what they're missing. They're missing the crucial part. The too easy, okay? Whilst it might be too easy for someone who's used to training 5 times a week, it might not be super easy for people that don't train at all. And we've got to remember, the gym penetration rate of people going twice a week is about 25%. Not much, and maybe from those figures, even less. So most people walking on this planet do not train in the gym, and they don't train consistently. So when we're trying to get more people to exercise, and some of you listening have got exercise routines, but some of you might have, like, what you would call fallen off the wagon, you just need to understand, I can do 2 workouts from home per week, 8 to 10 exercises in just 2 sets, right? And I don't have to go hard. I just need to go a decent amount of weight, and I'll just do it. And that's enough, I swear down, because the least. Research is saying it clearly now. This is not just one study showing this, it's multiple, okay? So strength training does increase your heart rate sometimes, not loads, but more than brisk walking, I would say. And it just helps with feeling stronger, improves your metabolic rate in a sense as well, not massively, but it can increase in more muscle. But you don't want to pit cardio and strength against each other, okay? That's not what I'm doing here. What I'm saying here is, if you're going to do strength training, you can do 2 times a week, full body, 8 to 10 exercises. Now, this week in the Turtle Octagon Challenge, we're going to be doing some of these workouts so you can see what they're like in real life. And the important thing before we move on to the next part is that if you did just cardio, you reduce your all-cause mortality by 18 to 29%. Okay, so your chance of dying drops by 18 to 29% if you did cardio or strength training. But if you did both, so you can do 2 strength training and 1 or 2 cardio, the benefit is nearly double, to 40 to 46% reduction in all-cause mortality. Think about that for a second. If you're saying to me, Scott, when you look back at your life, and hopefully you live a long, healthy life, and you're 82, but maybe you didn't live a healthy life, you're 82 and you're really struggling, or you could be less fit, 67 years old or whatever, and all I had to do was 2 workouts a week, 15 minutes each, 8 to 10 exercises of strength at home, right, which I could do in replacement of my doom scrolling on TikTok, for example, and some cardiovascular as well, whether it's running, whether it's martial arts, whether it's on the bike, at low intensity. That's all I would have had to do over the last, you know, 3 decades of my life for me to be in a vastly different position to where I am now, where it could be the difference between living another 10, 15 years or not. And that's the truth of it. You know, that is the truth of it. Like, my father, unfortunately, passed away a year ago, and his health wasn't great. He was a smoker for many, many years. He didn't do any fitness. He was a bus driver. So he's just sitting down all the time. And, you know, you wonder, how long would have he lived if 20 years ago he took these things seriously? Or if 20 years ago he had someone in his ear, like me right now, saying to him, hey, mate, you just got to do this. You got to please take it seriously. I promise you, you're going to want to ignore it because you feel okay right now. I don't want to scare you all, but, you know, time is going to go on and you have to do something about it. You have to do something about it now. You have to start making action, and it's not much. You don't have to do much. That's the brilliant news here. Like, this, I'm not saying you've got to do loads here. If I was saying you've got to work on 6 days a week, you've got to do 7 days a week, you've got to eat a really extreme diet, blah, 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 you go, yeah, I can't do it. I'd rather die. You know, I'd rather die at a younger age. So that's that part of it, right? It's important. And we're going to do that this week. We're going to make sure we get it right, and you're going to know exactly the workouts you can do. We're going to go through them, and you're going to understand them, and you're going to know what the cardio is, and you're going to go, do you know what? If all else, if I'm feeling a bit confused, would I want to be workouts-wise, blah, 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 I'm going to fall back to this at least. And then you know the benefits it's going to bring you, okay? And the last bit is, like, why strength training is a lifesaver, essentially. So there was a research done on strength training, right? And look at the benefits it brings, okay? Preventing falls. Strength training improves mobility in elderly people, okay? So lowers the risk of debilitating stumbles. It helps you stay sharp. It actually reduces cognitive decline. It sharpens the mind, for sure. It helps people in surviving cancer. So seniors with higher amounts of lean mass are more likely to survive a battle against cancer with fewer surgical and treatment-related complications. And they're also less likely to have a recurrence. Again, important here, it's not going to stop you getting cancer if you're going to get cancer. But again, with any illness or cancer, if you are in a better physical condition, you've got more of a chance of surviving. It doesn't guarantee everything, so please don't take this out of context, but it can help. It preserves metabolic health as well, okay? Shows in resistance training showed in old adults helps this. It just helps you stay alive. Research shows adults who work out once or twice a week for a total of 60 to 120 minutes have a lower risk of death from any cause. Okay, it's phenomenal stuff here. Phenomenal stuff here. It slows the aging process down. If you can maintain strength, okay? And here's the kicker as well, and this is what we're going to touch upon this week in the training. You can maintain strength and lean mass with as little as 30% of your 1 rep max, as long as you're willing to go to slight fatigue. So, like, slight failure fatigue. It's kind of hard to describe, but, like, going to where you can't do another rep with good form. So you might push and you go, do you know what? Oh, yeah, that's it. You know, it doesn't have to be to absolute failure where you're, like, screaming and you're squeak. It's not that. It's just, okay, then I was good form. Maybe my form is slightly changing now. I'm going to stop. Okay, so it's not fat. It's not to failure. And what do I mean by 1 rep max? Okay, the 1 rep max is What weight can I do? The maximum amount of weight I can do for an exercise for one rep, and that's all I can do. So, for example, if I'm thinking of a bench press and I'm pushing weight, I can only do one rep. I'm squeezing it, one rep done. There's no more. I've got no more energy left. That is me done. All right, so say now that's 100 kgs. My one rep max is 100 kgs, okay? I only have to do 30% of that, which is 30 kgs, and I got to do it with good form, but I got to go all the way until my form starts dipping. And, you know, this is going to be roughly in the 20 to 30 rep range, okay? And workout today, I'm recording this the day before, so workout tomorrow, guys, will be the low intensity workout by Joe, which will focus on this stuff. So you're going to do lighter weight, higher reps, and there's a benefit to this for older people as well, that this type of workouts improves cellular turnover. So that what that means is it gets rid of older muscle cells and replaces them with newer ones. So that's good for you. It's going to improve your muscular endurance. So the researchers say here, to put it another way, when you induce a high level of muscular fatigue by doing lots of reps, you can get an older person's muscle tissues to behave like a younger person's. Okay? Muscular endurance. So, you know, you don't even need heavy reps, heavy weight. You can just do lighter weight for more reps with good form. Okay, and we're going to cover it. So the good news is overall, I'm going to finish on this, is that we're in a good position here, guys. All of us are in a good position here to reduce our all-cause mortality, reduce our cardiovascular risk with a program that is manageable for us. And you have to believe in this and the science, but your mind will tell you there's no way doing that little is going to help me. I'm used to 5-6 workouts. I'm used to reading magazines, doing extreme stuff. There's no way. We look at the core things, and I will bash on about them all the time. It's your energy intake, okay, which we measure our energy intake through calories. Protein intake. Our step count's a good indicator of activity. And if you can, you add in a few workouts a week in this realm. And if you want to progress further from there, happy days. But if you just start with that core and you build on that core, and you have that core as a base for 6 to 8 months, okay, so the rest of the year, you're going to notice phenomenal changes, okay? And it's not loads to do, which is great news. So hopefully this motivates you today to kind of hit them. So think about what your one big thing is today, your OBT. One thing I'm going to do today, some of you will say, do you know what, Scott? I'm going to make sure my calorie intake is in good order, my protein intake is in good order, I'm going to hit my step count, and I'm going to do a workout. But some of you might say, do you know what? I'm just going to make sure I have a good night's sleep tonight. That's one of the cornerstones I've been ignoring for weeks and months, and I'm feeling sleep deprived. And that's why I'm struggling with my calorie intake, because I'm always eating late at night because I'm sleep deprived. So you're going to not drink caffeine after or coffee after 11 a.m. and you're going to have an early night's sleep. Okay, that might be your one big thing. So, you know, focus today and focus this week on the things that matter. And I'll be back tomorrow with another podcast on these topics. So have a good day. Speak to you soon.